Man of God, arise as a PPK, a priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family, and the king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join us as pastor and coach Gerald Benton encourages, leads, and teaches men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a PPK.
Thank you for joining me with The Turnaround. I'm Gerald, and as you can see the title, from unbelieving to believing, it was a great, it's been a good series for me because God is really showing me some things. He's showing me different places and different phases of my life that I was in, and it's really been an eye-opener to me because I'm so grateful for what God has done. God is so good to me. He has been so good to me. I really understand how much he loves me, and none of this stuff that I was able to come out of or do, I couldn't do it without the love that he has for me, without Jesus that paid the price for me. I couldn't have done it all. I couldn't even done it without my natural help with my wife, being who she is and what she did. And you see the title, it's unbelieving to believing. There was a time where, you know, God took me this morning to a place where I was literally sitting on a curve. I was sitting on a curve with no place to go, no money in my pocket. And I was sitting, I had a truck that had the license plate was, you know, it was 2 years. And so I was like sitting there, a sitting duck waiting to, you know, be arrested or whatever. But I had no place to go. And I was sitting there and I was just crying. I was crying, I was crying, I was crying, and I was like, how did I get here? How did I get to this place? And it's like, you know, when you're traveling down a road and, you know, you take the wrong exit, it's like God has a plan. And I didn't realize that at a place when I got off, I didn't think I was off of God's plan. I was off of God's road, where the plan that he had for me. So you take you get off on the exit, and then you find yourself having to go a long way to actually get to another road to turn. And so when you turn down that road, you literally not back on God's road or the plan that God has. You're on a whole another road, hoping that road leads you back to the original road. And so this is how God was showing this to me. It was like, you was on my, you had my plan. I gave you my plan. I had a plan for you from birth. I had a plan for you from the original start. And you decide to make me. I decided to make detours. I got off on this road. I got off, whatever that road might have been. The road might have been addictions. The road might have been the lies. The road might have been a pornography. The road, you know, just getting off on a detour. And I got off on this road, and I'm sitting there, and I'm so far away from God's original plan, his original, the path that he had for me. He said he knows the path. He chose it for me. It was there from the beginning, but I chose to do it my way. And so let me tell you how this thing happened. I got so far off, I really didn't believe that I can actually get back to that road. I really didn't believe that I can get back to that road. So my belief just, you know, faded away. I stopped having faith. I stopped having hope. I mean, this is what the enemy does to you. He attacks the places where that you believe in what God is saying. You know, whatever God has asked you to do, or whatever he said for you to do, or whoever he's called for you to be, then that is the thing that you hold on to. You know, the enemy is always trying to detach you from God. He's trying to cut your connection with God. If he can cut your connection with God, if he can cut off your, if he can stop you from praying, if he can stop you from believing, if he can stop you from hoping, if he can stop your faith, if he can get you to that place, that this is the road that that I was on. I was on this road, and I was just finding myself on all these roads, and then I hit this one road, and it said, that road read depression, and depression led me to a dead end, and that dead end, I'm telling you, the road was so dark, I couldn't even see, but I understood that at some point, this thing was going to come to an end, because it said a dead end. As I'm driving, and I'm going, I'm looking at this road, and I'm thinking, at some point, it's going to come to a dead end, but I can't see where it ends. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, at some point it's going to end. And then in my head, I'm like, it's death at the end of this road. It's suicide at the end of this road. It's like, okay, then it literally, God just, I don't know. He knew. He's on Kairos. It's on his time. And he understands. He knows. He has a plan. And it was like, boom, stop. Just stop, Gerald. And it's like, I stopped. And he was like, you got a choice to make. You want to live or do you want to die? And I'm like, what? Okay, seriously, you going to give me that choice? Yeah, I want to live, but my actions were leading me to death. Here it is, because I really and truly stopped believing. God gave me these three things. He says, I want you to understand belief. I want you to understand believing. I want you to understand faith. I want you to understand hope. Because if the enemy takes these three things away from you, if he takes these three things away from you, you're going to find yourself in a really, really bad place. You're going to find yourself weeping, crying, feeling like hopeless, feeling going into a victim spirit, going into these places where you really don't even want to be. And so God gave me a couple of scriptures that really just settled into my heart, because I heard these, you hear these scriptures before, but when the rubber hits the road, do we really apply these scriptures, or do we allow our situation? Because I was letting my situation dictate everything. If I wanted to believe what God said, I understood. I was in the church. I understood what the prophetic word was. I understood what my calling was. I chose to go down an opposite road. I chose not to believe that. I chose to let my faith decrease. I chose to not have hope in what I was doing. I chose that. I really chose that. But I'm watching. I'm not really knowing what God was doing with my wife and her, because he brought her into, because I wasn't believing. He had to increase her belief. Dang, y'all better catch this one. Because we are one, he had to increase her, not what she saw, but what she believed. If she believed in him, if she had faith in him, if she hoped in him, because I'm over here not hoping, believing, or having faith in anything, but she had to have it, and it had to go to another level. So there was things that she had to do. There was things, a place that she had to get to. There was things that had to be cut off. There was things that had to be imparted into her. There was things that she had to sit and be still and listen to. Because if it didn't, I wouldn't have had a thought out of plan or anything else to be able to shut down what the enemy was doing. Because let me tell you something. When I lost all of that, I was at a place of death and destruction. That was my plan. That was my plot. That was my focus. That was the thing that I was headed to. And that's just what I was getting ready to do. But let me tell you something. When God gives you an assignment, when you ask God, what is it that you want me to do? And God gives you an assignment. Let me tell you, your assignment is just not vital for you. Your assignment is a vital for everything that is connected to you. I wasn't believing in myself. I didn't have no faith in what God showed me, said to me, because I'm sitting there in my mess like, why are you showing me this place now? Where I am now, this is what God was showing me 10 years ago. While I'm sitting there in a dope house, when I'm sitting there drunk, when I'm sitting there in pornography, whatever I was doing at that moment, God was still trying to talk to me and showing me some stuff, but he was trying to build my faith back up. He was trying to build back up my belief in what he said he would do. He was trying to make me have hope again. Some of y'all have lost y'all hope. You have lost hope in because what you see is deteriorating your hope. You like, man, this is hopeless. How many times you don't word curse your marriage? How many times you don't word curse your spouse? How many times you don't word curse your situation by saying this is hopeless? The enemy sitting there clapping and saying like, yeah. They already feeling like it's hopeless. Oh my God. Now they won't have faith in what God has said. No, the faith is gone. Oh my God. Faith is gone. Now they really don't believe. They really don't believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. You read that scripture, you say that scripture, but do we really believe that that is true, that that will work for you? I'm just saying, because here in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It has faith in there and it has hope. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Where is your hope? Are you still hoping? Are you saying it's hopeless, or are you saying I have hope? I have more hope. My hope is increasing. My faith is increasing because I believe in what you said, God. I believe in what you're putting in me. I believe what you said about my spouse. I believe what you said about my situation. I have faith. My faith is going to another level. No longer am I going to say hopeless out of my mouth, claiming and declaring things that are hopeless out of my mouth. Matter of fact, God, I go back and I renounce that word. I renounce whatever I was saying about my marriage, that it no longer looks like it's dead. It no longer looks. I speak the opposite, because as I'm speaking the opposite, I'm having faith in what I'm saying. I'm having faith in what you have said to me. And now my hope is going to another level, because I'm hoping that it will come to pass. I'm hoping that you would do what you said you would do. And my faith is coming. And then you go to Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Check that out. If you done lost, the enemy is trying to take your faith. He's trying to take your faith. If he takes your faith, then it says it is impossible to please God. Why you think he's trying to take away your hope? Why you think he's trying to take away your faith? Because he's trying to disconnect you with God. I'm telling you, he had disconnected me with God. I mean, like, click, cut the line, cut the cord. Disconnected me with God. And it says, you must believe in God. And you and it says he rewards those that earnestly seek him. The enemy takes away your hope. He takes away your faith. And you stop wanting to have communion with God. You stop wanting to talk. I'm talking about myself. Now, if this fits you and this is where you are, then good. But I'm just telling you where I come from. This is where I come from. I come from a place where I was just totally disconnected from God. I was disconnecting myself from God. I didn't want to be married. I didn't want to be, you know, a husband. I didn't want to be a father, because I was running from all of that stuff. I was just disconnecting myself from that. Then I wanted, and the enemy is so, he's so crafty. He just tries to, he isolates you. He gets you to start thinking in your head that things are impossible. Impossible. He gets you to thinking. He wants you to think these things. Let me tell you something. He wants you to think these things. He wants you to think that it's hopeless. And if you think that it's hopeless, you think it and it's hopeless, and you think it long enough, it gets into your heart. When it gets into your heart, you're going to verbally, openly say, my marriage is hopeless, girl. Man, my marriage is hopeless, dude. They ain't gonna never be right. You just start going on and on and on and on. And now he's a legalist, because now you verbally actually said you word cursed your situation. And now you wonder why it's not getting better. You wonder why it's not getting better. Yeah. Yeah. So now, when I look back on this thing and I look at, you know, what my wife was doing, what she had to do, you know, she had to change her words. I mean, like, really and truly change her words. She wasn't like word cursing, but it's like, it's how I perceive things. When she talked to me, are you talking to me and I'm hearing respect, or am I hearing disrespect? So she has to. I mean, she like literally had to change her vocabulary. And she, did she think it was worth it? Did she think it was necessary? No, she didn't think it was necessary then. No, she ain't. She was like, dude, you're a grown man. Grow up. You're a grown man. Why you drinking? You're a grown man. Why you on drugs? Why you grown man? Why you having addictions? I mean, really? You grown. You understand these words. You understand this. But the time she had with God, God showed her some different things. He showed her how to speak, how to listen, how to see, how to declare, all of these things that she like had to like yield to. My wife is not a dumb person. My wife got 3 or 4 degrees. She's very intelligent, but she's so smart. She understood that, man, I better just sit. I better decrease and let God increase. Cause if it's going to be me, this is not going to work. If it's going to be God, then I need to see what he sees. I need to hear what he hears. I need to say what he says, because if I say anything out of my flesh, he going to run again. He going to leave again. He ain't going to stay again. Then God starts showing her who I was. Do you believe that he will be, that he is who I said he is? He's my son. But do you believe every one of those prophetic words that you got written down? Do you believe that? Do you have hope in that? Do you have faith in that? I'm just trying to tell you, get these things in your heart. Start hoping again. Hope, 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 hope. I'm trying to tell you, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. No, you don't see it. But you better have hope that what God says is going to come to pass. And it just builds your faith. I'm telling you, because she did that, because she submitted herself and she humbled herself and she dedicated herself and she did all of these things to be who God wanted her to be for me. And it took a revelation of understanding who she was. It was a place of a help me. It was a place that not only is she able to help, but she's able to surrender who she is to a broken person. Man, and that's having faith in God. That's having faith in God. That's truly and believing and hoping that who God says I am will come to pass. And with some declarations and with some hard prayers and with some with a whole lot of correction. Listen, we're at that place, and she had to have hers. I had to have mine. And then we get to this place. It says in Isaiah, it says those who hope in the Lord will renew strength. Let me tell you something. The enemy is always trying. How many times you just sitting there weary and weak? Yeah, how many times he said, I'm tired. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. Why? I could tell you why. Because here it is. It says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew your strength. You're losing hope. You're losing hope. You need to check to see if you're actually having hope. That's why you're weary. That's why you're tired. That's why you're fatigued, because the word tells you that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. The Lord will renew your strength. Gerald, the Lord will renew your strength. So when I got to that tired place and I felt like, man, I ain't going to make this thing, God said, come on, man. I said, I'm going to renew your strength. Get up, get up, get up. I still need you to have hope that you can get to this end. I need you to have hope that you can survive this thing. I need you to have hope. Let me tell you something. This thing was an emotional place for me this morning. When I tell you this thing was emotional, it was like I'm looking at this road and God is saying, I believe in you. God is saying, I believe in you. When I even believe in myself, my wife is mixing it, believing it, believing it, believing it, hearing it, saying it, doing all of this stuff, and I don't even know it. But God is telling me I believe it. So God is mixing his word with her word, and he's just feeding it to me, and he's telling me, you can make this. You can make this. You can come back off of this. You can come back because there's things I need you to do. There's things I need you to say. He's telling me all of this stuff while I'm walking down this, I'm going back down this dark behind road. A man that don't even believe, a man that doesn't even have hope, a man that doesn't even have this faith and just faded away. I knew God. I'm in church. I understood the word. I understood this. But I'm sitting here in a broken behind place where I don't even have hope in my own self. I don't have belief in my own self. I don't even believe I can make it. I don't even feel like I deserve to be able to do what God wants me to do. I'm telling, this is how bad the enemy had me. He's always in my head. He was always trying to make the battleground in my head torment me to a place where it was getting not only in my head, but it was seeping into my heart, and it was making my heart to what God wanted. It was like, you don't need to have no faith anymore. You don't need to believe anymore. You don't need to hope anymore, because I'm just about to take you to the death place. I'm just going to make you go to a place of suicide, and you're just going to go ahead and take yourself out of the way. And I just felt like literally felt like that was the best way to go. The enemy will take you farther than what you really wanted to go. He'll take you further than what you really want to go. And so I was sitting here and I was like, God, I would always say, God, place your super on my natural. And he said, Gerald, you do remember that scripture? I want you to say that. Keep saying that scripture. God, every step, God, place your super on my natural. I'm weak right now. I'm really weak. I don't even want to do this no more. But I understand what you're trying to do. I understand where you're trying to take me, but I'm weak. I can't even walk down this road. I can't even get back. I need your help. I'm begging. I'm crying out now. I'm weary. But God says, I'm going to renew your strength. And my steps got a little bit stronger. You know, my stride got a little bit longer. God said, he showed me something, you know, while I walk every morning, and God says, you know, while you're walking, it's like the walk coming back. You still walking to come back, Joe. You still haven't reached the ultimate place where I want you to be. So why are you taking these walks? I'm walking up these hills and these mountains. He says, I've called for you to take mountains. I've called for you to take territory. So why are you walking? While I'm stretching you, my faith is increasing. Listen to me. I'm walking up mountains and I'm looking at a mountain like, oh my God, my body's hurt, my legs hurt, my ankles hurt, my knees hurt. All of these things are starting to hurt. The enemy's like, turn around, going back home. You'll be all right. But God says, I'm calling you to take this mountain. I'm calling you to take this hill. I'm calling you to take this territory. I'm calling you every step that you step that you're not stepping for yourself. You're stepping for somebody else. You're stepping for the next generation. You're stepping for somebody that's trying to come out of the pornography. You're stepping for somebody that's trying to break addictions. You're stepping into somebody that's sitting in a place of divorce, that's getting ready to get a divorce, but you're declaring while you're walking on this thing. He says, I want you to believe again. Every step that you take, I'm renewing you. I'm renewing your mind. I'm renewing your heart. I'm renewing your faith. I'm renewing your belief. I'm giving you the strength that you need to make this thing through. And I'm sitting there like, my God, you brought me from that to do this. This wasn't even in my thinking, but God was showing it to me. And I'm like, I can't even see that. I don't even understand that. I can't even comprehend that. How are you going to get me to that when I'm looking at this? I'm trying to walk to this. I don't have strength for this. I don't have faith in this. I don't have belief in this. I don't have hope in this. God, you got to do something, and I need you now. I'm being real with you. This is where I had to come from. And so I'm giving you these turnarounds because these are places where God is saying, I just need you to tell them about this. I need you to talk about this. Somebody don't believe. Somebody don't have hope. Somebody faith is leaving. But God is saying, let me tell you something. Those who hope in the Lord, if you have hope in the Lord, he will renew your strength. He will renew your strength. Listen, here's a situation. When you look at a situation, you've been looking at a situation for so long, and it's just looking like everything is still looking the same. It ain't going to change. Do you believe that God would do what he said he's going to do? Because let me tell you something. My wife was over here declaring something different. She wasn't seeing something different. I'm just saying, she wasn't seeing what she was declaring. It was totally opposite. Even when I came back home, it was totally opposite of what she was declaring. But she had got herself in a place. I mean, like, literally got herself in a place where what she was saying, she was believing she was gonna see it. She was believing before I was even believing. I ain't have faith in my own self. let alone have faith in what God was saying and have faith in what she was saying. She had done tapped into God so good and so tight and so obedient that she, when she saw me, she saw what God saw. I'm looking in the mirror and I don't see anything. I ain't see none of this. I ain't see absolutely none of it. God was glimpsing it to me, but I ain't see it. She was seeing it. She said, God, show me what you see. Show me what you see. But she had to break something. She had to break the old perspective. She had to break the old habit. She had to break the hurt. She had to break the pain. She had to have God to just take it away. Take it away. But it ain't gonna take it away if you ain't surrendered. You have to be in a place of surrender. You got to be out in a place of, God, it ain't none of me, it's all of you. You can't put your emotions in this. You can't put your feelings in this. You can't put any of that stuff in it. Because soon as you put your feelings and your emotions into it, you go back to the old way. You'll say the old things, you'll think the old things, you'll be the old way, and you in your mind, you think you change it. But the person that actually knows who you are, they like, man, this, why did I come back to this? Why do I have to be this? God, I'm already not believing in myself, and now this person is calling me the old person, or thinking that I'm the old person, and I'm sitting here trying to change. So once again, you go from, and I'm telling you this because this was one of those I come home and then all of a sudden I see this right here, and then it's like, dude, I'm out of here. This is the old way. But that last time, man, I don't know what God did. She tells me some stuff, but I understand God did some miraculous stuff, because I understand how disciplined she is, and I understand how faithful she is. I understand how submitted she is to what God says and what God wants her to do. But her belief in what God was saying, and her faith in what God was saying, and her hope in what God was saying went to a whole nother level. It went to a place where when she talked to me, it made me believe in my own self. Have you ever been, I'm a sports dude, and it's about motivation. When you get a team, or you have a group, and you start talking and you get them to believe and to have their belief and their strength go to a place where you're motivating them, and you're pushing them, and you're encouraging them, and you're telling them, and all of a sudden now they're feeling like a man. I'm telling you, man, she made me feel like a man again. She made me feel like she respected me. She made me feel like she loved me. She made me feel like everything that I did didn't even matter. Who God said I was, that's what she was pushing for. That's what she desired. So she helped me to believe again. She helped me to have hope again. She helped me to have faith again. See, God had a plan. He said, when you come back, I got something for you. That when you get back, I'm going to put you back with her. And when you get back with her, she's going to help you get to where you need to be. She's going to make you believe again. She's going to help you have hope again. Because I didn't have hope in myself. I didn't believe in myself. My faith level was actually gone. I was that person. It was like Jesus with Doubt and Thomas. I think that's in John 20 and 27, and Jesus told him just to stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe, because the enemy puts a seed of doubt in your head, and it'll jack everything up. Just a seed of doubt, just a little bit of doubt, jack your whole time up. It'll jack everything up. It'll have you sitting there with your hands on your head, talking about, I guess, crying. Then you become a victim. Now you hit the enemy, have you in a victim spirit, because now you can't stop crying. You can't stop thinking about why you did this, why they did that, why you say this, why you, and now you're like, God, it's like, you're my son. You're my daughter. Get up. Ask for some strength. God always asking us to open our mouth. The enemy tries to muzzle us. He tries to keep our mouth shut, and that we won't actually use our authority by the words that we send. Now, we'll use our words when it comes negative, because we're operating out of our emotions, and our emotions will make us feel like we have a right to say the negative things that we're saying. I'm just saying. I'm talking about your belief, your faith, and your hope. Your belief, your faith, and your hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So no, you haven't seen them. You're not seeing them, but you're so faithful in what God says, you're going to say it anyway. He's a king. He's the head and not the tail. He's above and not beneath. He's no longer an addict. He's no longer a drug head. He's no longer a liar. He's no longer a cheater. I mean, you start declaring that thing, and the more you start declaring it, the more you start believing it. The more you start believing it, the more you'll start seeing it. You got to start speaking a thing into existence. It says, call those things that be not as though they were. And are you calling those things out? Because it's mixing your faith with what God says. It's mixing your faith with your belief. It's mixing your faith with your hope. You better mix it and mix it and mix it and mix it. And I'm talking about and keep mixing it until you start seeing it. Because as I'm sitting here getting chill bumps, because as you mixing it, I'm telling you, I'm not telling you that somebody had to tell me. I'm walking in it. I'm a living proof of it. My wife and myself had to actually mix this thing together. She started it out first. Yes, she did. She, you know, people say, oh, a wife can't. Man, listen to you. It says sanctify a wife, sanctify a husband. I'm sorry. The Bible says that. So she actually sanctified herself to God. See, I mean, she separated herself to God, and God gave us some instructions of what to do, to how to save her husband, how to save the one that he has that he has placed, you know, for her to assist, for her to help, for her to love, for her to encourage, you know, to actually help, to be suitable to help me. But she had to get into a place that's a posture. You got to get into that place. You can't just, because you went and got a piece of paper, now you're a wife. And now, man, listen, that piece of paper with a wife will get you in the divorce court real quick. Because soon as things start happening and you get emotional, you'll feel like, man, I got to go. But let me tell you something. When you're dealing with a covenant, you're dealing with a sacrifice. You're dealing with something that says that I'm willing to do this regardless of this. I'm willing to be this regardless of what I see, what I do, and how I feel. If that makes sense to you, give me some hearts. I obviously ain't getting no hearts right now, so I don't know if that hurt. I don't know if that was just something that just hit too hard, and now it's like, man, I don't know about all of that. And that's what it is. We get to that place, and we're like, okay, I don't believe that God would do what he said he gonna do. Cause this, if he was gonna do that, he would have did it then. God saying to you, I'm working on you, because what he did was he worked on my wife first. He worked on my wife first. He was working on me, but he was working on my wife because she had to be ready for when I came back home. She had to be different. She had to have broken some things off. She had to have deliverance. She had to increase her faith. She had to increase her belief. She had to have some more hope. She had to. She really and truly had to. And why would he want one to do it and not the other to do it? And so once he got her to that place, now it was me. Let me start cutting this off. Let me stop him where he is, because now my daughter is ready. So let me stop him where he is. Let me see if he gonna make a choice. Let me see if he wanna get back on the right path. So let Gerald, do you wanna live or die? Oh, I wanna live, God. Turn around. Okay, turn around. And as I'm walking back through all of these things, Gerald, what do you wanna do? Gerald, stay in the straight and narrow. Stay in the middle. Stay in the straight. Stay straight. Stay straight. Don't bob and don't weave. Cause the further you get down, this road gets narrow and narrow. You don't have no luxury of being able to swerve side to side. You better walk straight, because if you start swerving, the enemy got a good chance of snatching you and pulling you back. But I need you to stay in the straight and narrow. Do you believe that as you walk in this straight and narrow, that you will get to the place where you want to go? But Gerald, here we go. As you walk, I'm gonna get you stronger. As you walk, I'm gonna show you your sight is going to get better. As you'll start seeing the light. You've been walking in dark for a very long time, but now I'm gonna show you that light. Now I'm gonna let you see walking to that light. And as you start walking to that light, I'm gonna make you stronger. I'm gonna renew your strength. I'm gonna renew your mind. I'm gonna renew your faith. I'm gonna renew your hope. I'm gonna renew you. And as you start doing it, you start declaring, God, I got strength. God, I make this. God, you said that you would never leave me or forsake me, God. You said that you would place you'll give me the strength that I need. Listen, I'm regurgitating scriptures I ain't even know I can remember. But I'm telling you, it was coming out of my spirit, man. It was coming out of the depths of my soul, because I was just trying to live. I was trying to survive and not die. I was trying to make it to a little piece of light that I ain't even really think that I can make it to. But I had to believe that I can make it. I had to believe that God was going to give me the strength. I couldn't doubt God's word. I just had to believe. I just believed. I believe that I can make it back. I believe what he was showing me. I believe that I will be the man that God has called for me to be. I believe that I will be able to lead other men. I believe that God said that I will be able to go to other nations. I believe that God said that we'll raise up a army. God, I believe what God said about my marriage. I believe what God said about my children. I started believing it. I started declaring it. I started walking in it. I started talking in it. And before I knew it, it was like, oh my God, babe, look where we are. Look where we are. I'm like, babe, seriously? Did you see this? Some of it, maybe. Majority of it, no. But I'm telling you, don't let the enemy put doubt in your head, because I'm telling you, he's trying to separate you from your father. He's trying to separate you from God. He's trying to separate you from your destiny and purpose. He's trying to disconnect it. He's trying to disconnect it. And how he does it, he uses your belief, he uses your faith, and he uses your hope. Because if he can disconnect that, a threefold cord is not easily broken. You catch that? You catch that? A threefold cord is not easily broken. Your belief, your faith, and your hope. Man, that was fresh. That was new. That wasn't me. Thank you, God. That threefold cord, don't let them break it. Don't let them break it. Get stronger. Get stronger. I know sometimes you're weak. I know sometimes you get tired. But God says, I will renew your strength. The Lord will renew your strength. He said it. Why would he say something that he wouldn't do? God is not a man that he shall lie. God's word will not return void, empty, or vain, but it shall accomplish that which pleases. God is not lying to you. Why would he want to lie to you? Why should he lie to you? If he said he would do it, he would do it. If he literally told you to do something, he has something for you. Do you understand that? He has something for you. Please. Understand, he has something for you. The enemy doesn't want you to reach it. The enemy does not want you to reach your destiny or your purpose. So that's why he attacks these areas. That's why you go through, you feel like you're going through pure hell. I mean, I remember that pure hell place. But I didn't have no, my belief wasn't there. My hope wasn't there. My faith wasn't there. So I was sitting in a bad place. I was sitting in a dark place, and some of it I chose. I chose to be in that place because I felt I had a pity party. My wife ain't talking to me right. I hate my wife. She get on my nerves. She thinks this. She disrespects me. Blah, 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 blah. And I felt like I had a right to be in this place. So then I stopped believing in the marriage. I wanted to get a divorce. You don't know how many times I wanted to do that. I just, man, let me just go get a divorce. Man, this woman here is getting on my freaking nerves. I'm done with this. Let me go. But you know what? I couldn't even do it. I wanted to do it, but I couldn't even. God wouldn't even allow me to do it. He was just shutting things down. He was shutting down that emotion. He was shutting it down because God's plan. He's gonna get his plan across. Now it's either you're gonna cooperate with it, or you gonna prolong it. And you prolong it long enough, you might miss it. But don't allow yourself to miss what God is trying to do in your life. Don't allow the enemy to plant doubt in your mind, and then doubt gets into your heart, and then you start verbally saying negative things about your marriage, about your relationship, about your children, about your parents, about yourself. You know, don't get into that place. Why did I put myself into this? This and that. And then you literally find yourself complaining to God. And God is sitting there looking at you like, are you serious right now? Do you know that I know everything about you? I know what's going to happen to you before you know what is going to happen to you. So you're not telling God something that he don't already know. what you should be asking is okay, God, what is it in me? Not going to God to, my husband need to be delivered. I'm his salvation, his mind. He get delivered from the, okay, God, what assignment that you have for me today that I need to meet, that I can break the chains off of my bloodline, that I can, that I'm strong enough to outwit the enemy and defeat the enemy, that I'm going to win. Where's that prayer? Where's that prayer? Because I was praying, man, change my wife. My wife better my wife better respect me. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, I was praying angry. I was praying out of emotions. I was praying soulish prayers because I wanted a soulish thing. I wasn't saying, God, what is it that you want? God, can you help me to be a better husband? Can you help me to communicate better? Because I knew the things that was jacking us up, but I wasn't praying that I communicate better, that you deliver me from the lying spirit, that you deliver me from the deceitful spirit. But I'm praying, God, she better respect me. You better make her change that. She better, when she talk to me, she better talk to me with respect. Blah, blah. Man, God's looking at me like, dude, you got way too much stuff in you that you need to be asking me to deliver you from and not asking me to be delivering her. I got her, but can I get you? Because I got to break pride off of you. I got to break Leviathan off of you. I got to break the habit, drug habits off of you. I got to break double-mindedness off of you. I got to remove the scale. I mean, golly, you got a whole lot of stuff to be trying to get off. So I had to spend time with me. Before I'm trying to spend time trying to pray and take stuff off of her, trying to change her through my prayers, I need to be trying to work on me. So what about you? Is it something that you need to work on in you? That and if you say, oh, I'm good, I don't have a problem, then you have a problem. Because I'm actually sure that there's something that we all have to work on. We all have to work on. Because if you sitting there talking about, I'm tired, I'm weary, man, you done gave up. You giving up. You haven't asked God to renew your strength. You might have to ask God to renew your strength all day, every day. That's why I say meditate on my word day and night. So if you sitting there weary, you sitting there tired, are you opening your mouth and meditating on this word and actually saying this word? Lord, you said you will renew my strength. Lord, you said you will renew my strength. Lord, you said you will renew my strength. I need my strength renewed. Place your super on my natural. Please, please, please give me what I need. Give me what I need. Because right now I'm about to go crazy. Right now I got the mind of Christ. No longer am I saying I'm crazy. No longer am I saying I'm about to go crazy. Because I got the mind of Christ. I think like Christ. I operate like Christ. I see like Christ. I speak like Christ. I hear like Christ. Everything is about me is Christ. I decrease as you increase. It's none of me. I say I am your image and likeness of Christ. I am the joint heirs with Christ. I am. I'm just telling you something, man, that it had to go through. I'm just telling you something that I was in a wicked place and I had to come out of this place. I had to actually decrease from my old place to my new place. I couldn't be the old man. I couldn't, you know, I literally had to change my name. When somebody, I went from like G to GB to Gerald. My real name is Gerald, but the street was calling me G at home. But when I got to college, it was GB. When I got married, it became Gerald. Because let me tell you, my wife just calls me Benton. She just calls me my last name because I'm just telling you, your name means something. So she just calls me Benton because she understood what I when she says that, what it does to me. It reaffirms who I am. It reaffirms the love and the respect that she has for my last name and the name that she has on her as her last name. So it just confirms it. It just seals it to me. It's little stuff that is happening in my marriage that just shakes the. It lets me believe. It lets me have faith in who she is. Every time she says Benton. Everybody know that when she says Benton, I'm responding to it. She's talking to me. She's talking to my manhood. She's talking to my legacy. She's talking to who God says I am. She's speaking to that place. So when she says that, it means something totally different than just somebody saying your last name. Somebody else said my last name, it's just saying my last name. But when my wife says my last name, it means something. She don't even call me my first name because somebody might have been a pervert in that. So when I was G, I was in a place where I was trying to develop who I was. I was just trying to find a belief and find a faith in who I was. When I became G, when I was GB, I was in college. It was a whole nother thing. I was a whole nother person. I was operating in a whole nother demonic level. You understand what I'm saying? But then when I got married, my wife would say Gerald, but then all of a sudden God gave us something because she just started saying Benton because she understood what that meant. I mean, spiritually, she understood what that meant to me. I don't even know if she just, we know, I don't think we talked about it. I don't even think we ever talked about it. But spiritually, she knew what that meant to me. And so it started reaffirming. It started, it really gave me the belief of understanding that she knows who I am. She's speaking to my spirit, man. She's speaking to my legacy. She's speaking to the, my authority. She's speaking to all of those places that are in me, all of those things that are in me. She spoke to those things. And now it's like, okay, this is who he is. This is who God called him to be. And so this is what I'm speaking to. I'm just trying to tell you. You got to have some belief and some faith in this. And you got to hope that what you're saying and what you're speaking over your spouse and what you're speaking over the situation is going to change. Because if you ain't mixing that, you're not mixing your hope with your faith and with your belief, then you miss any one of those ingredients, then you're going to be off. You'll be off. So you got to check your heart, and see if you believe it. Check your heart to see if you truly have faith. Check your heart and see if you truly have hope in what God has said to you. I'm telling you, you got to understand these three things. And I now understand what God was talking about when he gave me those three things. He said he really is talking about this threefold core. It's just like God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, because the enemy understands that if he can take those away, he disconnects you with God. He disconnects you with Jesus. He disconnects you with the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not believing in any of that stuff and having faith in that and having hope in that, then seriously. I'm like, seriously. Like, seriously. like, seriously. Hoping. Hope. Hope is like the Holy Spirit. Faith is like Jesus. Belief in God. Believing in God. Believing that God is able to do what he said he would do. And having faith that what Jesus did on earth that you're able to do. And hoping that the Holy Spirit that dwells in you will lead and guide you into the places that you need to go. Y'all better catch that thing right there. I just threw something and I'm thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for everything. I thank you for that. Just that right there. Just catch that little piece. Just that little piece. Just that little piece. I pray that little piece right there just like take you to a whole nother place. It shows you don't lose it. That's why the enemy is always trying to disconnect it. He's trying to disconnect that because of that. Faith, hope, faith, belief. Holy Spirit, Jesus, God. Hoping that the Holy Spirit continues to lead and guide me. Having faith that what Jesus did on this earth, I'm able to do. And believing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. God is able to do exactly what he said he would do. God is able to deliver me out of the hands of the enemy. I believe. I have faith in everything that Jesus has done, everything that Jesus has said. If he said, I can do it, I believe. I have the faith that I can do it. And I have the faith of a mustard seed. He said, just have the faith of a mustard seed. A mustard seed. Just a little bit of faith. He ain't asking you to have a mountain of faith. He asked you to have faith of a mustard seed. Man, catch that. A mustard seed? Come on now. I pray that this helped you because my God, I did not plan any of this. This here is strictly God. As I'm like, wow, that's deep. I wouldn't have put that together, God. I wouldn't have put that together in my good day. In a day that God. It's God's timing. It's God's way of doing things. And so if somebody is tired and weary and you know, they're calling you and they, you know, just send them a message, you know, let them know, let's encourage each other. Let's not allow each other to fall into pity parties and let's not fall into a pity party with them. Let's encourage them to understand get the scriptures. Find the scriptures. Start declaring over yourself. Find some resources that'll help you to get to where you are, to where you need to be. If it's counseling, find counseling. If it's resources, find some resources. If it's prayers, find the scriptures that help you to be who you are and to be who God has called for you to be. It's time out, man. The enemy is in an all-out assault right now. He's in an all-out assault. And here's the time now where we're able to just settle in God, to sit still in God, and to know what God is saying, and to increase our belief, increase our faith, and increase our hope, taking it to another level, and making the devil pay for taking away your joy, taking away your peace, taking away your marriage, taking away your family, taking away everything, your finances, taking away. He has to get that stuff back, man. He's a thief. It's time to get it back. It's time to take it back. It's like, take it back. I'm taking back everything that God has said for me that I'm to have. I'm taking it back. No longer am I losing hope. No longer am I losing faith. No longer am I doubting and not having belief in what God said he would do and what God said. If God told me to stand and stay, then I'm standing and staying. But while I'm standing and staying, I'm decreeing and declaring. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm praying so hard that I'm bringing heaven down to earth, that I'm praying so hard that when I pray so, when I start sweating and feeling like blood, when I pray so hard, I'm seeing the heavens open up. When I'm praying, I'm seeing the windows start shaking. When I'm praying, I hear the ground start rumbling. When I'm praying, I hear the enemies fleeing every time I open my mouth. When I step up and when I step out, the enemy is at bay. He's running now. I'm no longer a wimp. I'm no longer a shame. I'm no longer bashful. I'm no longer timid, but I'm coming out like a roaring lion. When I open my mouth and I declare a thing, I hear the power and authority of the Lord. I hear who he has called for me to be. And when I speak that thing, I'm expecting that thing. When I speak that thing, I'm expecting that thing. So if I don't see it, I close my eyes and I still declare it. I can't see nothing with my eyes closed, but I'm still declaring it. It's still coming out of my heart. It's still coming out like fire. It's still coming out. No longer am I sitting there looking like I don't understand what's going on. I'm not blind. I'm not blind. I'm not deaf. I can hear what God is saying. I can see what God is saying. And devil, you cannot blind me anymore. No, you can't keep me in the dark. No, you can't keep me in fear. No, you can't keep me in anger. No, you can't keep me in hurt. You can't keep me in frustration. I can speak to myself. I can declare over my mind. I can declare over my heart. I can declare over my body. I can declare over my situation. I can declare over my spouse. I can declare over my children. I can declare over my day. I can put some words in action. I can put some words in action. I can call forth my angels that are assigned to me that to come forth now in the name of Jesus. I can call forth the heavens to open up and release what belongs to me and let it come to me now. I can call forth my prayers to take on the characteristics of projectile and hit the bullseye. I can declare that I'm a sharpshooter in the spirit realm. I can declare that I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I can declare that this is who God said I am. I am. Woo! I am who God says I am. I believe what God says I can do. I have faith in who God says I am. I have hope in the word of God, the love of God. The word is like a two-edged sword. Y'all better catch that. The word is like light. The word is God. Come on. We got to use it. We got to use it. We got to stop using these other negative stuff. We got to stop using when the situation gets bleak, the situation looks rough, the situation looks like it's going back to the old place. What are you saying? Are you just letting it go back to the old place? But are you declaring something different? Are you saying something? Oh, devil, you ain't coming. No. No, we're not having no resemblance of the old. We're cutting off the old things. I bind the old ways. I bind the old man, the old woman. I bind the old conversation. I break the spirit of dysfunction in my home. I break the spirit of bad communication in my home. I break the spirit of seduction and lust and perversion in my home that operated in the bloodline that came through pornography, that came through fornication. I cut it off now in the name of Jesus. I put a roadblock on everything that tries to come traveling our way that is not holy, that is not righteous. I declare that it is stopped now in the name of Jesus. Come on now. You got to start using your prayers. You got to start using your words. It's about time for us to start talking about things. It's time to start living this thing. It's no longer, am I going to sit there and I'm going to be not a man. I bind the spirit of the little boy. I bind the spirit of inconsistency. I bind the spirit of agitation and irritation. I bind the nagging spirit. I bind the spirit that'll cause you to run. I bind the spirit that'll cause grief. I bind the spirit of operating out of hurt, out of pain, out of speaking out of pain, speaking out of frustration, speaking the old things. I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. Father God, that vocabulary and that language is being wiped away now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you that as we rise this morning, you're giving us a new slate. I thank you, Father God, that the blood of Jesus cleanses, the blood of Jesus washes us white as snow. Father, you have forgiven us of our sins, and Father, we forgive ourselves and we forgive others for the sins that they have committed or the things that they have done against us or the things that they have hurt us. Father God, I thank you right now. I thank you. 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 I thank you for cutting them off. I thank you, Father God, that you're renewing marriages. You're resetting marriages. I thank you, Father God, for a new life, a new line of commitment, a new faith, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that they have faith in each other. I thank you that they have hope in each other. I thank you that they have belief in each other, that they will call them, Father God, the right. They will call them, Father God, who you have called them now. I thank you that they see it your way. I thank you that they hear it your way. Father God, no longer will they hear from the hurt. Hear from the pain, hear from the past. Now in the name of Jesus, Father, they are letting it go. They're being released from it now. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of weariness because your word says that you will renew their strength. Father God, renew their strength today, Father God. Every weak person now, they're being renewed right now. You're renewing not only their strength, Father God, but you're renewing their mind, Father God. You're transforming them, Father God, from that old person to that new person now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for the transition. I thank you for the process that they're going through now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, as they go through the process, Father God, let them learn. I speak the ability to learn from the mistakes, the ability to learn, Father God, from the correction now. Father, your word says that you correct the ones that you love. Father God, I thank you for the correction because I know you love me. I thank you, Father God, that you continually to correct me. You continually to put me on the right path. You continually to cleanse my mind, to cleanse my eyes now. In the name of Jesus, you delivered me from the addictions. You delivered me, Father God, from the pains of the past. You delivered me from rejection and abandonment. You're delivering me, Father God, from the lust and the perversion. You delivered me, Father God, from the generational curse. Now you give me the strength to walk it out. You give me the strength daily, Father God, to declare my freedom, to declare my liberty now in the name of Jesus. I speak a hedge of protection around each and every person, Father God. I thank you, Father God. That the blood of Jesus, Father God, that drips on them now in the name of Jesus, that drips on their legacy, drips on their destiny, drips on their person, not their purpose now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Father God, that you're removing all doubt from them now. In the name of Jesus, every seed of doubt, everything that has been placed in their bloodline to doubt and to fear. I bind the spirit of fear. Fear that something bad is gonna happen. Fear they're gonna leave again. Fear that you can't make it. I bind it now in the name of Jesus. I speak strength to you. I speak success to you. I speak a winner's mentality to you. I say that you're a winner and not a loser. I bind the losing spirit, that we have victory over the enemy every day. We have victory over the enemy in every circumstance, Father, because we apply your word. We apply your truth. We apply your power. We apply you, Father God, to everything that we do. And we declare that we have victory over our enemy today. We have victory over our enemy tomorrow. We have victory over our enemy every day, Father God, because it is you that give us the power. It is you. 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 We call upon you. We call upon your name. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And Father God, we thank you for providing us and giving us what you need. I bind the spirit of anxiety. I bind the spirit of weariness. I bind the spirit of tiredness. I bind the spirit of fatigue now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that this is the day that you're placing that super on their natural. This is the day, Father God, that they're getting the new a renewed strength today, Father God. You're renewing, Father. You're renewing their spirit man now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that their spirit mans are jumping now. I thank you, Father God, that they have a new fire inside of them now in the name of Jesus. Yes, all chains are being broken. All bondage is being broken. Everything that had you shackled, everything that had you down, everything that had you in a low place now is being released off of you. I command it to go now in the name of Jesus. I command it to go now. All I need you to do is just breathe them out. Say gone. Say go. Say go. Whatever it is that's been holding you back. Whatever that thing is that's been nagging you. Whatever that thing is that has been causing you to be weary and to be tired. I want you to say go. I want you to say go. We're gonna come in agreement today. We're doing deliverance now. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go now. It's time to let it go now. No longer are you holding the pains of the past. No longer are you gonna have a person in prison for something that they did a long time ago, or even last week, or even yesterday. You can't hold them a prison to it. You're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. It's time to let it go. Stop holding yourself bondage to it. Stop holding you. What you're doing is you're not holding them in bondage. You're holding yourself in bondage. It's time to let that thing go. It's time to let it go. I say go now in the name of Jesus. All your hurt, all your pain, all your rejection, all your abandonment, all your loneliness, I say go now in the name of Jesus. Father God, let you show them the love that they need. Show them the areas they need to be delivered in now in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. I speak liberty. I speak freedom now. Today is the day that we get freedom. I bind memory recall, right? Yep, let it go. Memory recall got to go. No longer am I going to be rehearsing the pains of the past. No longer am I going to be rehearsing those past conversations that felt like disrespect. I counsel them now in the name of Jesus. I counsel rudeness. I counsel every form of abuse, mental, physical, and verbal abuse now in the name of Jesus. I counsel all strifes and contention now that comes in your communication, that comes in your marriage. I counsel every wedge-breaking spirit. I counsel every spirit of divorce and separation now. I counsel of the spirit of seduction, the seducing spirits, Father God, that have caused you to run from one woman to another woman, to one man to another man. I bind it now in the name of Jesus. I bind all inappropriate relationships now in the name of Jesus. All inappropriate conversations, I counsel them now in the name of Jesus. Father, they will no longer. I bind all soul ties, everything that connects them to evil, connects them to the other woman, connects them to ungodly conversations, connect them to ungodly friendships. I counsel it now. Father God, we sever every tie that connects them to it. Now in the name of Jesus, we say no longer is the communication going to be corrupt, the communication be bad, miscommunication, bad communication. We counsel it now in the name of Jesus. We counsel generational curses of dysfunction in the marriage, dysfunction in families. Now in the name of Jesus, we bind that loud talking spirit now in the name of Jesus, trying to out talk somebody. I bind it now in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of pride, Leviathan, now in the name of Jesus. I bind depression, suicide, mental thoughts, mental anguish. I bind double mindedness now in the name of Jesus. I bind all forms of schizophrenia and bipolar now in the name of Jesus. I bind all adulterous relationships now in the name of Jesus. Father, we command them to go. We command them to go now. Break the ties now. I command that every man and woman that is in an adulterous affair, Father God, I command them to come out now in the name of Jesus. I command that the lines of communication is broken. I command that everything that seduced them and brought them to that place, Father God, that they're being released out of it now. All forms of witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, white magic, all forms of manipulation and intimidation, I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. Father, I decree and declare that these men and women are set free now in the name of Jesus. Seducing lips will no longer hold them. Seducing lips, Father God, will no longer ensnare them now. In the name of Jesus, everything that tries to break marriages, every wedge-breaking spirit, I command you to break now and go now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you for a day of release. I thank you, Father God, that as they speak, Father God, what they hear and what they see, Father God, what you have told them to speak into their marriage, to speak into their life, Father God, no longer are they speak what they see if it's a bad situation. But, Father God, they will speak the word of God. They will apply the word of God. Your word is like a medicine, Father God. Your word is a medicine bottle. Father God, they find in a prescription, Father God, for what is ailing them. And, Father God, they declaring it over themselves. They're declaring it over their marriages. They're declaring it over their hearts. They're declaring it over their minds. They're declaring it over their ears. They're declaring it now in the name of Jesus. Father, I bind that spirit of weariness. I bind that giving up spirit, that quitting spirit now in the name of Jesus. I bind that victim spirit now in the name of Jesus. They are no longer victims, Father God, but they will be encouraged. They will be stronger than what they thought they would be now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, freedom is coming to them now. Freedom is coming to them now. Holiness is coming to them now. Righteousness is coming to them now. They believe again. They have faith again. They have hope again. Father, it is in them. It is rising up now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, they hope meter is arising. Their faith meter is rising. Their belief system, their belief is rising now. I believe in what you have said. I believe in what you said. I have faith in your word. I have faith in what you have done. My hope again. I have hope in your calling. I have hope. Father God, remove the scales that they will be able to see again, that they will see who their spouses are, that they will see the hope of their calling, that they will see now in the name of Jesus. I bind everything, every mind blinding spirit. I bind all spirits of confusion now in the name of Jesus. I bind everything that tries to manipulate your mind, to come against your mind. I bind all mind racing spirits. Your mind can't rest. When you sleep, your mind just keep going and going and going, and you feel like you're being tormented. I bind the tormenting spirit that comes and thinks that come and make you think that you're not sane, that you're not living, that you don't want to live. I bind that spirit that'll cause you to want to think about suicide, that thing that want to cause you to think about death. I bind death, hell, and the grave in the name of Jesus. Father, you have sent your son to pay the price for our sin. Jesus went to hell and got the keys. And Father God, we decree and declare that in everything that the enemy tries to do, that we can, it's under our feet, that we have victory over it. Father God, we stomp on the enemy. We stomp on his life. Stomp on his lies now. He is the father of lies, and we disconnect with the lies now in the name of Jesus. Father, we renounce the lies that have been spoken over us, every lie that has been spoken over us, our marriage, our destiny, our purpose now in the name of Jesus. Father, we renounce the lies that we have told, even telling ourselves. Father God, we forgive ourselves. Father God, we come to a place, Father God, we submit our will and our way to your will and your way. We decree and declare that your desires are our desires. We decree and declare, Father God, that we will submit to your to everything that you have called for us to be and to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I thank you. Oh, I thank you for the people on this line. I thank you, Father God, for their lives. I thank you, Father God, for everything about them. I thank you, Father God, that you're resetting, restoring, rebooting their marriages now in the name of Jesus. Father, you are doing the miraculous now. Father, you specialize in the impossible. And I thank you for the impossible coming to pass. I thank you, Father God, for new mindsets. I thank you, Father God, for new intimacy. I thank you, Father God, for new romance. I thank you, Father God, for the new friendship that are coming forth now. The enemy tried to steal their friendship. The enemy tries to steal their joy. Father, I thank you for their joy coming back. I thank you for the peace coming back. I speak shalom in the home now in the name of Jesus. I speak divine revelation in the instructions that need to be done now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that they're submitting. They're sitting. They're sitting still. They're waiting on your voice, Father God. They're waiting on your instructions, Father God. I say, Father God, instruct them in the way that they should go. Instruct them in their marriages. Instruct them, Father God, in every step of the way now, in the name of Jesus, in the way they talk, in the way they see, the way they hear, the way they feel, the way they respond, the way they walk. Father God, let everything about them change. Let none of it be them. Let it all be you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for a true submission to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And they believe that as they submit and surrender to your will and your way, Father God, that you orchestrate in their steps, that the words that you have spoken over them, the words that they speak out of their mouth, Father God, will come to pass, Father, that they will not return void, empty, or vain. It's your word, Father, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's coming forth now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.